This is Bucky Bacall with the Backyard Chicken Broadcast. In my view, for the past decade, the United States national zeitgeist could be characterized as an irrational preoccupation with security. Call it paranoia. Of course, the September 11, 2001 attack on the World Trade Center was understandably traumatizing, and the desire to increase public safety was and is a natural reaction. But so much of what we have done since then has not been effective and never really made sense. I think the tone was really set when our government hastily reversed so much of the Bill of Rights, sold to us as a temporary emergency provision, that remain in effect now through the continual extensions of the Patriot Act. Following that, we passed the so-called Animal Enterprises Terrorism Act. I've talked about that on this show. It can land a person in jail for taking an unauthorized photo of the inside of a factory chicken farm. A recent article on Alternet, I'll post the link to the wall of the Bucky Bacall Facebook page, explains how the real defense budget is much more than the stated $1.3 trillion, with defense pieces under all kinds of other categories, such as agriculture. And yet Department of Defense is threatening chaos if the entire budget is not approved. I'm at least pleased to hear there's some kind of debate on whether the Real ID Act, set to radically change the kinds of licenses and passports we all carry around, is an onerous, unfunded mandate that threatens civil liberties, or an essential reform that will address the purported notion that the ability to fake an ID is a critical tool for potential terrorists. On a more personal, day-to-day level, I was intensely uncomfortable earlier this month when I was without photo ID for 2 weeks. In New York City, you can't enter an office building, sometimes even indoor plazas labeled as public spaces, without showing ID and possibly going through a metal detector. I make it my practice to make friends with the security personnel when possible, but it's still dehumanizing, and yet I still feel like I'm one of the few New Yorkers not totally habituated to these gauntlets. In New York, subways and public spaces were subjected to the decade-old See Something, Say Something campaign, and the special number to call if you spot a suspicious character or thing. Yet the one time I really did see something, two unkempt guys frantically pulling thick cable from underneath an obscure pedestrian bridge in Queens, and said something to the famous 311 response line, no one was sent because there was no street address. And that's just the thing. My observation and experience is that all these security measures are haphazardly applied for maximum loss of liberty and quality of life, and ineffective prevention of bad stuff. For contrast, the Bucky Bacall agenda includes provisions for personal and national security and is fun. Yes, the way out of our national neurosis is the real security created when small flocks of chickens are distributed throughout North America in every suitable space. As I say just about every week, chickens can be humanely and sustainably raised in as little as a few hundred square feet, and not only provide food in the form of eggs, or meat in some cases, but by increasing vegetable garden yields through non-toxic pest and weed control, soil tilling, and compost management. Plus, they help keep chickeners from becoming neurotic because they're so charming and interesting. This is important to national security for several reasons that all boil down to natural disaster, disease outbreak, and acts of aggression, domestic or foreign, are all serious threats to the centralized factory farming food production system that currently feeds most of us. Right now, most of the food most people eat is shipped across the country, if not shipped across nations, sometimes back and forth in a wasteful web of distribution center transfers. This requires a lot of road, air, and sea infrastructure that can be hobbled by earthquakes, extreme weather, or intentional destruction. Furthermore, all that transportation requires fossil fuel, which we all should know is becoming more difficult to obtain, especially if there is war or disaster where the fuels are produced. Obviously, all that infrastructure and fuel is not necessary when your eggs and veggies are grown in your backyard or on a nearly sustainable farm. The next major food security concern, after availability, is purity or cleanliness. The truth is, despite the layers of bureaucracy involved in our current food system, it is very vulnerable to poisoning and disease, intentional or otherwise. As we've seen in the high incidence in recent years of salmonella, E. coli, bird flu, mad cow, and tainted products. When we control the production of our food on a scale that can be personally monitored by one person, a family, or a small community, such as gardens and small farms, we have a nearly guaranteed knowledge of whether or not that food has been tampered with. Furthermore, the preponderance of evidence is now showing that despite popular farming myths, Huge factory farms, bathed daily in chemicals and antibiotics, are more, not less, vulnerable to pathogens. It is statistically clear that virulent bird flu strains are cultured and spread at massive factory farms. Small farms and microflocks have never been shown to be impacted by bird flu, except for when they have somehow been exposed to viruses bred on large-scale farms. The worst case of bird flu, known as the Spanish influenza of the early 20th century, was tied to trench warfare, conditions which are sadly replicated in today's ginormous chicken factories. While small farms can become tainted with pathogens like Salmonella or E. coli by a careless or ignorant farmer, it is actually much easier to control and correct those errors, and much, much easier to locate the source and contain the damage when tainting does occur. And it will be much more difficult for a bad small farmer to recoup his losses and return to make the same mistake than it has been for industrial agriculture, who keep on revisiting us with the same food disaster. How many times do we have to keep on hearing DaCosta's name in the news about tainted eggs? Not everyone can grow all their food needs in their backyard or neighborhood community garden. In fact, very few of us can do that. But I know from personal experience that a decent garden can get a person or family through several weeks of not going to the grocery store when necessary. Furthermore, as more of us engage in urban gardening and enhance that by supporting small-scale farmers that operate relatively close to us, through farmers markets or community-supported agriculture projects, where folks buy shares in a nearby farm and get a portion of the harvest as dividends, the more we decentralize our food system. Decentralization increases security, and we get healthier and tastier food in the bargain. That's why it's the duty of all patriotic Americans, or really the duty of all sensible Americans who care about personal safety, to use the closest suitable space available, be it private yard, community garden, or reclaimed public space, to raise small flocks of chickens. It's more effective security measure than some of the bad ideas circulate in this past decade, such as locking random victims in Gitmo, subjecting everyone who goes anywhere to gauntlets of bag searches, turning in your neighbors for suspicious nonconformity, and so on. And gardening with chickens is a lot more fun than any of the above. Finally, my advice to myself, or any of my listeners who share my frustration with the unenlightened scaredy cats of the world, is when confronted with people wanting to blame us for their fear that the sky is falling, instead of giving them one of the reactions they're expecting, such as shame, capitulation, or a fight, we engage them in a hope-inspiring dialogue on how they can contribute to disaster prevention and have fun while they're at it, by becoming a chickener. As always, I encourage you to contact me at bucky@buckybacaw.org with your own personal experience on this topic or others, your comments, questions, suggestions, even objections. And if recorded in your own voice and sent to me as a digital file, you may get to hear your own voice on the radio, as opposed to me or my partner dramatizing your message in a silly voice. This is Bucky Bacaw. I had a good time. Bucky, Bucky Bacaw.